like the support.
No, the microphone's
gonna microphone. That just does not comfort me one bit. And if you guys know it, sing along with me. It's called The Wise Man. Are you guys ready? You know it? Sing it with me.
The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down.
This is where I go a little faster, because my kids, as they got older, they're like, let's go.
The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm.
The foolish man built his house upon the sand.
The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down.
The rains came down and the floods came up. Yep, the rains came down and the floods came up.
The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went smash.
There's another verse, but I just want to focus on those two verses. Something that we have been teaching our children for years, and we're actually being very blessed in Proverbs to hear about the wise and the foolish man. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Jesus is saying here that we have two foundations to choose from, the wise or the foolish. And again, reminded in our Proverbs study that we've had all year, that choice of the path, the foolish path or the wise path. Today we're going to discuss and also encourage each other how to lay a foundation and have a house built on the rock. So before we read the first paragraph, because you all have your thing here, and I'll lay mine up here, plus I have another one, I just want to also reiterate some principles that we need to know and remember when we talk about building and laying that foundation. And one is regeneration and being born again. This is all knowing that we are all born again, one that we have received Jesus as our Savior, and we're living for Him. And part of that is a call to repentance. John the Baptist preached. He wants more songs, probably. John the Baptist, Jesus, the 12 disciples, Paul the Apostle, all called us to repent. And that's forsaking our sinful and self-centered life by changing our heart and mind so that our views, passions, desires, and values, and goals and objectives and life patterns are Christ-centered, because you have a love for the Lord. Again, my favorite verse, Matthew 22:37-39, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then your neighbor is yourself. So that is another foundational thing to think about. And the third one is a daily lifestyle of glorifying and pleasing God in all you do. With a regenerated heart, desire to repent, you now have a lifestyle to glorify God. Your life should display that you honor and praise God for the wisdom that He gives you and His goodness. Okay, so let's get started in looking at our sheets. Normally, y'all get them ahead of time.
That will be the future goal.
That'll be the future goal, and that's why this is so fun and enjoyable. You guys are sweet and wonderful. So we're going to read these paragraphs. Is that okay? Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'll just go down the line and have you guys read a paragraph, and then we'll kind of discuss it, And maybe not, we'll just keep reading so you guys have an idea of what's in this as well, okay? So Kelly, can you read the first paragraph?
Sure. The truth of the matter is that you will always do what is truly important to you. Now you may not always brush your teeth as vigilantly as you did before having babies and toddlers, but you are still eating and sleeping when you can, and putting on clothes and going to church. Please tell me you are still vigilantly attending and giving your local body the pleasure of your company and receiving encouragement and instruction.
Yes. And I might add, even after you're married, things change up even before children. You know, addressing those who don't have children yet, your life changes when you get married as well. And your whole focus can shift from God onto that person that you're living with, whether that's in a woo way of in the beginning of your marriage or in a as time goes on, and your focus is so this way. So it's making sure that your time is devoted to the Lord, even after you're married, and then after you have children, it does get more difficult, definitely. Jenny, could you read paragraph 2?
If you are not having time alone with the Lord, in reality, you have not placed a high enough priority on it. We as women tend to struggle so hard to keep our physical body going, but in God's word, Paul reminds us that our body is just our earthly frame, and it will not inherit eternal life. Conversely, our souls and what we do in and for the Lord, raising godly kids, keeping your home, submitting to your husband, listening to the proclamation of the Lord matters for eternity.
Very good.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. Yes, absolutely. I thought you were going to comment on it. Yes, please talk. No. Yes, I'll let you read 3.
Do you know everything you will encounter each day? Do you know the best way to righteously handle every situation you will face each day? You will make numerous decisions, take numerous actions, speak numerous words, and experience numerous temptations, and all this before lunchtime.
The truth, right? We do. Every day. And we get so deceived, you know, oh, come to the Lord and life will be fine. Or even if we don't hear that, we think it should be. Lord, don't you love me? Why are you allowing these things? Again, thankful for sermons that we're hearing. Woo, that help discount that as well. And hopefully we're encouraging each other from, you know, that as well. Okay, so Eunice.
Are you prepared to do all those things in the strength God provides? With the wisdom and insight God provides, with his glory as your goal? Are you walking in the Spirit so you will not carry out the desires of the flesh? Can you possibly do all this without first centering your heart and mind on the Lord and his greatness, his purpose, his word, and seeking him fervently for all your needs each day?
Very good. Excellent questions. And then Angie?
You will do what is truly important to you. Is time with the Lord at the top of your list? Are you being filled up so that when you are squeezed, godliness oozes out? It was said by the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, of John Bunyan, if you pricked him, he would bleed pipeline. The most successful wives and mothers would be the ones that bleed pipeline too.
To be honest with you, when I read that, I'm like, is it bibline? Bibline? You know, it's Bible. I know.
Bibline.
Yeah, what is that? Okay, and then Elena, if you could read 6.
It is critical to first truly grasp how important time with the Lord is. And if you are like me, you will need God's help for this. Pray and ask him to help you prioritize your time with him each day. Some say, I can't afford the time in my busy day. The truth of the matter is that you can't afford not to. Read the word, pray, obey, memorize, study, teach the kids scripture, and talk to others about it.
Okay, so this is where my hand illustration comes again. Okay, so I've said enough. Can you guys, what should we be doing every day? Someone? Read the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Hear the Bible. And study the Bible. Every single day, we should be doing a little bit of that in our day. And then meditating it all day. Now, can you do that all day long?
No.
Not a reality. We cannot be in the Word of God all day long. But we can at least take portions of our day to do a little of that, those four things, so that when life hits and you've meditated on it, you have the power of the word either memorized, you remember what you just read, to be an encouragement to you, but also an encouragement to others as well. Okay. So that goes in. You will find, yes, you will find, it's easier to obey mom and dad. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not talking to you. It'll be easier to submit to your husband as well as teach truths to your children, and they'll see it lived out as well.
I like what it's written here, that you can't afford mountain. I remember vividly Linda saying that one of them asked, like, well, I just am so busy, I have kids. And she's like, you know, you're not making time because you don't want to, and so you can't afford not to. And that stuck with me because it's like, you need that so bad.
Absolutely. See, I tell people and gals, you have the time. You need to make the time. Because if you don't make the time, I mean, you make your time for other stuff. We really do. But we need to, that's excellent. We need to make the time, set that time. And we're going to continue to talk about that. If I get all fired up, just forgive me. But anyway,
we will like it.
It's true. I know. Because I'll tell you, because when I was reading through this, Jill, which you did, I'm like, oh, that was those times where you did a little confession there. That was me too. That wasted time when my ones were little, because I thought, oh, I have no time, so I'm going to go watch TV. And we didn't have phones then, but it was mainly TV and stuff. Okay, so I hope I'm not losing track. So now we have paragraph 7, which I think is a little longer, which is fine. I'm sorry, I numbered them.
Oh.
I am so sorry, so that my thing would be, so 7, which should start out, you need to fight.
Oh, that's me, okay. You need to fight for proper authority. This area of your life cannot be ignored if you are going to walk in the Spirit. Yet, this is not a matter of checking a box or calling it done. This is about you being equipped each and every day in His power for His glory and overflowing into all areas of your life. Family, friends, church, ministry, community, etc. In His presence, you will find your true energetic power to live for Him. Pray continually for God's help. Lean on Philippians 4:6 to be anxious for nothing. The enemy knows how effective this activity is. He will sidetrack you, distract you, do anything to keep you away from what really matters. Fight the good fight. It is not guaranteed to happen without struggle. Your time alone with your Heavenly Father and Master is the most eternally important thing you can do for yourself and your family each day.
Thank you, Irina. So, again, we have time. Make time for the Word as well as prayer, because we're going to get to that as well. I actually had a conversation with a gal about, you know, is it duty or devotion if I'm checking the box? And I'm a check the box girl, but for me, that's how I organize my thoughts, and that's how I remember, oops, I gotta do that. But as I've been praying and thinking about it, it's almost a duty of devotion. It is my duty to devote. So it's very, very important that you see, if you need to check the box, it's okay. But I know what that means there. It's making sure that we don't check the box, turn around, and sin. You know, that's wrong. That's being a Pharisee when you do something like that. Okay, Joshua 1:8-9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Boy, that can apply that place to all of us, but also moms. See, there were times I was scared to death on stuff. Be strong and courageous. But that's with meditating on the Word, not only, you know, again, day and night, both times, throughout the day. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness,
so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, equipped for every day. When you read the Word of God, that's your teaching. And then you read it and go, oops, I've sinned in that area. That's your reproof. The correction is put off, renewing the spirit of your mind and putting on. And then you have the training in righteousness, the plans that I've been talking about, coming up with a plan not to repeat that sin. That's the training, and that's going to equip you every day. You need to be sustained and nourished spiritually, just like you are physically. We eat and drink every single day so that we keep our bodies going. It's the same thing with our spirit. We need to be in the Word of God. When it says, pray continually for God's help, that is absolutely true. When you encounter anything in your day, you should stop and pray, especially for wisdom. If there's something like, I don't know what to do, or something, you know, happens in your life, just stop and pray. You guys know, have you heard of Susanna Wesley? I absolutely love this one. Where, okay, Susanna Wesley was the mother of a lot of children.
Yeah. 14.
14 or so, long in the 1800s. And two of her sons, Charles Wesley and John Wesley, they were, one was a writer, one was a preacher. And she was told that when she was busy with the children, if she needed to pray for whatever, she'd pull her apron up over her head. And the kids knew, mom's praying. I 14 of them knew. Don't bother mom. And there's been times that I alluded in here, Jill, but you just stopped and said, oh, God help. And I remember doing that when the four of them, I was an only child. So I was that much more, what? What are you asking me for? You gotta love each other. I was all alone. You have each other. And they're like, And I'm like, God, give me wisdom on how to help. And I remember verbally on the deck in Virginia, man, I just stopped. I raised my hands and I said, oh, dear God, help me. And that's okay for your children to see. You're calling out to him during desperate times. But it's so, so important that we call to God. Not only in really tragic times, we had a car accident, yes. The kids saw that we went right to God. We got on that cement, prayed, another story. But even in the little things too, that's so, so important for them to see. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, and there was a portion of it in here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's so important that to see that that's a put off and a put on. And you know, I had friends that say, well, I'm worried. You know what's really sad? When I said, what's a sin? You're sinning. Because the Bible says, Jesus says, God says, be anxious for nothing. We're not to be. And the moment we're anxious, it's like, okay, Lord, why am I anxious? What's going on? You start conversing with him, and then you actually do everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, this is coming into my life. You've got this. I know you do. But help me with what I should be doing. And I thank you for this opportunity to trust you. And the peace of God, I've had it many a time, because what you're doing is you're laying in his feet. You're saying, okay, Lord. But what's neat is there's still a tab of a homework assignment in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any excellence in anything worthy of praise, that's what I could be dwelling on, not the thing that I'm being anxious for. So that prayer verses are excellent and amazingly practical. The only way I know that verse, right, is from memorizing it. You find those verses in the Bible where you're having an issue with, whether it's anger or worry or whatever it is, those are the ones you should be memorizing so that when you encounter something in your life that's a sin, like, nope, Lord, I need to be doing this. And so you have to have the word memorized to be able to bring them up and do as well. Okay. And you'll also be, kind of talked about that, but I call them arrow prayers too, where Lord, give me wisdom. there's times where, you know, even evangelizing, if there's, you know, an opportunity in your sense, you just pray right away for you and the other person. You know, if you're, even with the children, shopping or whatever. So I call those arrow prayers as well. Okay. Prayer is essential to a spirit-controlled life. Psalm 145, 18 through 19. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and will save them. Luke 18, 1. Now he, Jesus, was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Because that's important too. And sometimes we lose heart, but we need to pray. It's just, whether you feel like it or not, pray. And our supreme example is Jesus. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Luke 5:16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And as a result for us, Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need.
I did it again. I beat you. That's so, so important, though, that we remember and recognize that we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace and receive mercy and find grace.
And just like spending time with the Lord, we can't afford not to pray as well. Okay, next paragraph, Jill.
Mary.
Oh, you want to be up here?
Friends, let me encourage you here. You can start attempting all the household and family organization and management laid out in this book. But without the power of Christ working through you, you will likely struggle and fail. Seek his face today, seek his help, and take the steps of obedience to his word and see his faithfulness to you.
So I thought of that my favorite, I'll just look through here, my favorite illustration. I was going to bring my blow dryer, but I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. It's so big and bulky. But when you think about it, if we have the blow dryer and it's not hooked to the plug, and we try to turn it on, what's going to happen?
Zero.
But when you plug it in and turn it on, God is our power source. The Word of God is full of power. And our prayers can be full of power as well.
When we say things like, or we encourage one another, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, if I'm not in his word, if not, I'm not memorizing his word, I'm not going to be strengthened. That's where I'm going to get my strength, by the power of the Holy Spirit in me, making that word alive in me, as well as with prayer. Okay, any questions at this point? And if not, we're gonna go to the fun how-tos, the practicals. Paragraph 1. Do you want to read that one too? That's you.
That's you.
I know.
There were many skimpy years between the Lord and me when my kids were small. At the time, I didn't see where I would fit Bible reading and focused prayer in with all I had to do. Hindsight is 20/20, and I can see now that my priorities just weren't straight enough. I sipped the skim milk when I could have been gulping the whole cream. Let me encourage you out from an area I personally was weak in.
I was the same way. They were growing up, I was tired. I would put them to bed, get my M&Ms that I had stashed way back in the closet, turn on Law and Order. That was my little... You confessed about Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Yes.
Mine was Law and Order. And I would sit there and eat my M&Ms saying, thank you, God, for getting me through this day. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with having a time to refresh. But that really was not... I was convicted later. I was wasting my time when they were in bed saying, okay, now it's me time. I hadn't really had anyone, you know, come alongside and say, oh, good, now you have time. You're in bed. You have time to do things. Whether it is like when they're napping, housework, whatever that might be. But just the whole, have I read the Bible today? Have I studied it? Worked on memorizing it? And then that fourth one, I always forget a fourth one. It's not the fourth one, it's a fourth one. And then meditating on them. So that's so important. That's why this is exciting. This whole group, this whole church that encourages you guys when you're feeling that same way, because they are, I love when Jill calls them the labor years, because that's what they are. They're the labor years. And so many times our flesh kicks in those labor years saying, I'm done. I want to do me stuff. Don't give in to that. Make sure that you are in the Word of God and you will be strengthened. Okay. So, in prayer. Oh, I'm right here. I don't have to scream. Okay, personal. Okay, let's go to personal devotions. Again, we've touched on it before. Are you a believer? This book is seeking to minister to those who want to grow in their walk with the Lord. So next we go to find a consistent place. Have a corner of your house. Angie, you actually are in my notes. Because when we talked, I was having a rug issue, right? I got another rug I'll have to show you. I was having a rug issue, and she, if anytime you need any interior design ideas, this, the Lord has gifted her with an eyeball. So, with the eye. So, I really liked what you said, if you remember what you said to me. So many times we like to go places.
Yes.
Like a coffee shop. We just want to go to that coffee shop and have that coffee with a friend or alone or whatever. And what was the other thing? It's like when you said that, I thought library. I love being in a library. It's quiet and books surrounding me. So you said, can you share now what you said to me about that and your home? Do you remember what you said?
Yes, it was a book I read by actually a Christian writer. And she said to set an environment in your home, wherever you're gravitated outside your home, to the atmosphere or the decor, she said to recreate that environment in your home. Whatever you're drawn to be outside of your home, create it in the home so you're drawn to be in your home. So she said if you like how the coffee shop is and the environment, create that in your home if you like, whatever scenario.
Like the library.
Yes, create that in your home to make it your nest.
So, find that area in your home where you can have a quiet time with the Lord, a place where you can go away that's consistent. And as it says here, oh, that's the muscle memory, but there was another part where it said, okay, keep what you need nearby. Have your Bible there. And like for me, one thing that I do, just to show you real quick, I do a journal, and I can show it to you guys later, but I have that there. I have my Bible there as well. Because one thing that I do that I know we're going to get into as well is this is what I read every day. So that's there. My journal is there. And my Bible. I'm doing Matthew because as Pastor Mark's been preaching through it, I've been writing it down. And again, I'll explain about these resources later. But that's what I have in the area that I have my personal devotion. For prayer, I actually, because my children are grown, so for me, it's my great room and the sun shining in. I have that sun shining in, and I'm reading the Word of God. But for my prayer time, it's in my bedroom. I want it quiet, the door is closed. So you find your, it could be two places, you find your consistent place where that's where you're going to have your devotions with the Lord. Does anyone want to add about any ideas that they have that they do? Anybody? Okay.
Sometimes you want to? It's an area without laundry on it.
I know. But work on finding a consistent place. I think that it'll encourage you to be there. It's like, oh, I gotta go. I just gotta go there. Well, maybe it's as I get older, I'm just feeling the need more that I need to be there.
There's so much to be said about the habit, too. But yeah, yes. You're like, I need to have that time. And, you know, like I bought a desk and I put it in this perfect spot, but I keep sitting on the couch in the library, you know? Like, all right, well, apparently that's the spot.
See, and that's it. It's funny how it's like, okay, well, that could be your study area. Your desk could be your study.
Wouldn't you say, though, that as much as a place, a time would be just as important?
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk about
that.
We are. Yes, no, that's very, very true. So find the best time of day to go to this spot and learn from the Word. Morning before the kids wake up, during mid-morning break, nap time, or after the kids go to bed at night. Okay. Time. Mornings are, I'm just going to say for me, mornings are the most ideal. And as you start the day, you're getting an eternal perspective. Psalm 90:14. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad in all our days. Psalm 5:3. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you. And I love this part. And eagerly watch. You pray and then eagerly watch. How many times, I know for me, I'll pray and I don't eagerly watch. There's sometimes I do. Especially if I'm praying for someone else, but that's important. So praying in the morning, eagerly watch. And yes, that means getting to bed earlier. I've talked to a lot of gals where, you know, just to get, they said, yeah, mornings are better. But, okay, when are you going to bed? 2 a.m. But that was ministry. I'm teasing. It's more like watching TV. A lot of them, you know, I like to watch TV to midnight or that type of thing. And so the getting up in the early in the morning isn't happening. So it's very, very important. I remember for me, though, because I can have sympathy, Paul was 2 and he was waking up. And I've told a lot of folks this. He was waking up earlier and earlier. I'm like, no, I want to have my time in the morning alone without commotion going on. And so I would wake up, he was waking up earlier. It was like, and then I'd wake up earlier. And then that one morning, he woke up early again. I was in the middle of my devotions. I said, Paul, why are you up? He goes, Mommy, the sun is up. Okay. So, but it was my frustration, you know, because, I mean, you don't want to come off your devotions and yell at your kids either. You know, it's kind of like, stop arguing! I'm trying to have time with the Lord. So, anyway, yeah, that doesn't work, does it? He's like, wow, you just scared me. So, it's praying for wisdom. It's, Lord, you know my heart. You know I want to be with you. Provide that place. Provide the time. But we have to be disciplined as well in that. As you have children and they grow and you have more, it changes. So you have to pray for wisdom. If early morning doesn't work, then go for mid-morning. Be flexible, but at least do it. If the night's better, then go for it. But please be in the Word. You need to develop the habit. You will then be equipped for spiritual warfare and remain alert to your adversary, Satan, because he doesn't want you to be effective women at all. So he's going to bring in stuff, whether it's trials or comforts. It's also our own flesh that just gives in to that temptation. But as long as you're in the Word of God and being an effectual doer, which we'll talk about later, it's going to be so important. I ran across a quote yesterday from a fellow named John Thweet. He's the trustee chairman for the Southern Baptist Seminary. Learn to yearn for him so that you delight in him more than any sin that Satan brings across your path. And you're going to learn to delight in him the more you're in his Word. So we know about electronic distractions. You guys have it more than I did. So TV was my big one. It's having that balance. The phone, the tablets, everything is good. But man, it can be such a distraction with stuff on your phone. So that's, again, between you and the Lord. Just be very, very careful. I really enjoyed, again, I'm enjoying our Proverbs study, but one of the qualities of the Proverbs woman is being efficient. I should say the Proverbs woman. I've been really convicted about that, too. It's actually in Proverbs 31. It's a woman described, you know, the qualities from the king's mother. But she said, I mean, her, what I really liked, one of her qualities is she was efficient. It's what we do with our time. Are we seeking things for our pleasure, being lazy or idle? And it is ultimately our heart attitude, because as we discussed in Bible study, it could be health, it could be the next good time, it could be that me time that we talked about too. Things that don't build up others spiritually in your life that you're trying to, okay? Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we have so great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. That verse is amazingly practical and encouraging. We have saints in the Bible, saints of the past, that are such an encouragement to us. Is there a sin entangling you? Then lay it aside. Then you are set to run the race set before you, fixing your eyes on Jesus. When you look at the Olympics, they're not running. Those guys running and doing hurdles are not wearing sweatpants. And I was going to say they're not wearing jewelry, but some might be, I don't know. But you're not seeing a peck of jewelry on all of them. They have the bare minimum. They have their really short shorts and their tank tops. They're running the race efficiently to win. And so if there's a sin entangling us, then we need to lay that aside. Okay, reading and studying ideas. There's a whole bunch of neat ideas there. So is there, can we read through them? Are you guys good with that? How are we doing for time? Okay. So choose a short book of the Bible. Read all the way through every day for a month. John MacArthur recommends this. 1 John is a really good one. You start May 1 and you read 1 John, all 5 chapters, every single day. He said at the end of the month, you'll know that book. So that is a really neat reading idea. Reading a proverb a day. A lot of you are doing that with your children. We did that with our children. We read a proverb a day that went, we'd say, okay, this month has 31 days. Let's break it out. We're probably going to do it every month, but the ones that have 31 days. Reading a proverb a day, yes, with your children as well. Read a psalm a day. Use a read through your Bible plan. You can get those on your phone on apps. I absolutely love this one. What's neat about this one is I'm getting Old Testament, a little bit of Psalms, a little bit of Proverbs, and the New Testament by reading it every day. Use a study guide to help you dig deeper in the book of a book of the Bible. And I'm going to so push right now, because I thought of it. If you have not been able to do the Proverbs study that is going to be complete this Thursday night, it is on the church website. We're talking the study guide for free, as well as the audio teaching for free this summer. Make that a priority. That could be your thing. If you've, you know, the ones that have been there and you've, you know, heard but missed a few, go back and get that. But I really encourage that Proverbs study was amazing. So that is an idea as well for Bible. Okay, reading and studying ideas. So that's reading and studying. Prayers next. Yes. Okay. Have a set time to pray alone with God when the kids aren't awake. So, so important. Just a time where you get away, just like Jesus got away. Pray with your kids at every meal. Teach them to fold their hands, close their eyes, and be quiet when others pray. Or repeat after you till they do it themselves. And I'll tell you, being in nursery and we pray for our snack that first hour, what a blessing that when I say pray, they know what to do. They know what to do, and they're little, some of them will kind of look around. I'm like, okay, remember, close your eyes, but their little hands are folding. They're doing this because they're trying not to look. But it's precious that y'all are doing that, but continue to encourage that, where they're closing their eyes and folding their hands and praying. And some of them, usually at that age, I have up to twos and threes. They don't pray, but I had this past week, I had one saying, I want to pray. And it's, and I'm like speaking way down. The others are looking at me, no, close your eyes, they're still praying. And then he goes, amen. And boy, they love it because it's snack then. Amen. It's like a little Pentecostal service. Amen. We are just thanking God for this snack. Okay. Pray with your family during family devotions. Keep cards for each day of the week and spread out your prayer list. On that one there, I'm just going to throw out a personal note that I do. I read Elizabeth Elliot's mother's Making It a Christian Home. It's about her mom and her dad and her being raised in this home. And one thing that her mom did was she prayed for a different child, specifically on a different day. So on Monday, it's Seth. Tuesday is Joy. Wednesday is Joel. And now it's added. And I just love this story. Elizabeth Elliot's mom was telling someone this. And the woman said, oh, well, now that they're married, you can, you know, mark it off. You don't have to pray for them on that day. And she said, no, they're doubled. So what's happening? Wednesday, it's tripled. Because I've got Joel, Hope, and Jude right on that day. And then Paul has Thursday. And then I keep praying for them over the weekend because they still need prayer. And Joe is every single day. I pray for him every single day. So that, you know, that to add to the really neat ideas here of Monday, pastors and leaders, Tuesday, government and parents. So make it your own. Those are just ideas, but make it your own. But I have a prayer notebook. You can do a card with dividers because I'm that way. Oh, you're seeing some fun stuff on this side of the chair, aren't you? Yeah. We'll just go this way. Yeah, I can't remove it all. Okay. So make it your own, but have a set system so that you have, like, okay, so then someone says, I have a prayer need, please pray for me. Whoop, goes right out. So I really like the idea. Pray for it right then. You could pray for them right then. If not, you pray for it later. But I write it down. I have in my purse, a little notebook thing that I'll write out the prayer request so that when I get home, and I'll remember to pray at that point. Because it's important, and it's important to me. If I'm going to say I'm praying for you, I want to make sure that I do. Because that's just a sad story if I don't. Okay. So then, backing up here again. Pray with your husband before going to sleep at night. Pray with the kids in the car. Each time an ambulance passes, or you pass an accident, or before you pull out of the driveway. We did that all the time. I was with Eunice the other day, and she did that as well. It's very, very important to show the children our dependence on God by praying, pray without ceasing. So, and showing the children that as well. Seek to make prayer your first response in crisis. In the moment of lacking wisdom, or when you are tempted to be frustrated or angry at people around you. It's an excellent, I've known the Lord a very long time. I'm still doing that. So it's making sure that you do. It's having that God conscience that, whew. You know, we talk about feelings. Well, the feelings are there for a reason. We're not to snuff them out. The feelings are there to say, okay, Lord, why am I feeling this way? Okay, I'm angry. Why? Okay. So give me wisdom in this situation. You know, guide me, may I not sin. And then the Holy Spirit breaks up scriptures. Okay, so one of my favorites, are you ready? Is when we had a small kitchen in Utah, and when the our, you know, most everybody's dishwasher lid comes up like this, right?
Down like that, and the dishwasher lid was down.
I walked by it and hit my shin. I grabbed the side of the kitchen counter. I said, I'm not going to sin. And I quoted 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And I went all through it. And I thought, as I was praying that, and I did, I chuckled as I was praying that 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And I started thinking about all the mamas and all the fathers who have hit their shin on the side of a dishwasher. And I had victory just by doing that in the need of the moment. And I said it out loud, and I'm sure the children heard too, because I don't think I was the one that left the lid down. But anyway, it's so important to have prayer there all the time in your heart, wanting to talk to God. And there you cry out verbally when you're being tested. Yep, God help me. The crisis, that goes right along with it. There's also the Acts prayer, where you read a passage of adoration. We've done this in Bible study. Confession, thanksgiving. Then there's praying the word. That's where you get the, Mary has done this, where you get different letters of Paul. And you read that, but you pray it. Like Colossians 1:10, that Seth may walk in a manner worthy of your Lord, pleasing you in all respects. So it's praying those scriptures. Philippians 1 has the same thing. You pray for your husband, you pray for your children, the scriptures, and even the Psalms you can easily read as well. Singing, I love that you have singing in here. Because one thing that I do with my devotions is I get a hymnal. I have an old hymnal. And yes, the doctrine's a little off on some of them, but I still have fun with them and change it up. And I'm singing to the Lord. And with my devotions, I'll sing a hymn. And like yesterday was "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has." And after I'm done with my reading and praying and I've sung it, I've got that little melody in my heart right then, you know, to kind of help me through the day. But singing to the Lord is so important, whether that's hymnals, you're in the car. I have the most awesome CD in the car right now that Joel gave me that I just absolutely love. I sang all the way here, and I'm all the way back. And it was funny, Eric's been teaching the college and career on pleasing man. And this is just a little side note. And he said, you know, what happens when you're in the car and you're singing to the Lord, you're bebopping, and then you're at a red light? The guy right there is right next to you, you're like, and then you're on the road again, and you're singing. But anyway, sing to the Lord all the time. Daily Bible reading samples. Where'd my little page go? There it is. Daily Bible reading samples. Again, there are some ideas on the Proverbs a day. Or the MacArthur Daily Bible. There's the daily reading plan by Robert Murray there. You can find them all over the place on websites. But make sure they're good websites like MacArthur. Okay, morning and evening, which is also there. That's an app. There's an app. And I'll even look at that app on my phone if I'm waiting in a waiting in a line at a doctor's appointment for the morning or evening, you know, kind of redeeming the time while I'm sitting there. So
it's not mentioned on here, but Jill has given me that advice before. There's an app, Gateway, which reads the Bible out loud to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So useful in the times when, yes, doing something, you just turn it on. I mean, some
excellent.
Of those things don't stick to your brain because the kids are screaming or something, but
I love doing the Old Testament like that. Because it's
new. Yes. And you can change voices if we're touching
up. I know.
Yep.
And
so,
versions.
Yes, different versions. It's awesome. It's been brilliant.
I have
a great thing to add to our resource page.
Yes, absolutely. And I do the U version, which is identical to Bible Gateway, all kinds of version. I've had it for years.
U as in letter U or
no, U version. It's called the U version, but it has King James. It has all the different versions of the Bible. And the same thing. There's a guy named Max McLean who's a Christian. Matt, he does King James Version, and I don't read the King James Version, but I love listening him.
He does ESV too.
Does he? On the Bible Gateway, probably, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. You can hear the Bible while you're doing things that you like, folding laundry or, you know, and have the children hear it at the same time. So that's an excellent idea. Does there any other ideas in terms of the whole praying or reading or studying? Okay, because I do want to add one more thing that's not on here, just real quick, like on scripture memory as well. I've already alluded to that amazingly, the importance of it, so that when you have scripture, when you're memorizing scripture and something comes up in your life, it's something that the Holy Spirit will bring up, whether it's your life or encouraging a friend. If a friend's going through something, and that's when the arrow prayers kick in, and you say, Lord, what verse can I give to this friend that can encourage them? Because you know, many times, well, I know in the Bible it says be anxious for nothing. Well, where is that? Now, the neat thing is now we have our phones, and we can, hey, Siri, where does it say be anxious for nothing in the Bible? Vroom, it comes right up, Philippians 4. But don't be lazy and rely on Siri. Find the address. But it's so, so important to memorize the scripture. Going through a trial, you can say, and I've said this to so many that I think that's how I memorized it. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, because the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work. Oh, see, I'm quoting work. So that you can be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then you park. You don't just quote and walk away. Are you counting joy? The joy, the way God talks about joy. So it provides guidance by having that hidden in your heart. So in conclusion, laying a biblical foundation for being an excellent woman, wife, and mother in the Lord is so important. You will sin. But Lord willing, as you become a doer of the word, you will sin less and less each single day. James 1:22-25 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Do you want to be blessed in all that you do? Well, you can. Are you looking intently at the perfect law? The law of liberty? Are you obeying it and being an effectual doer? That is how you are blessed in all that you do. And that is where a wise foundation comes in for that wise woman, wife, mother, and sister in the Lord as well. So do y'all have any questions or suggestions or comments? Nothing. Hopefully you guys were encouraged. It's a real passion of mine because I didn't redeem the time when I was your age. I was blessed to be in Bible studies and I was blessed to encourage, but it wasn't until they really became teenagers in Utah and then coming here and getting it much more, just being so, so encouraged that way. So I'm very thankful I'm at the stage of life where I can encourage you guys. So I guess we'll close in prayer. Does she hear that? Okay, we're going to pray.
Tanya, get up.
Oh.
Pardon the children scattered all over.
Yeah, they're just laying out on this floor. So we're going to close in prayer. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, oh, we just love you. We thank you for your word that gives us direction. We thank you, Lord, that your word gives us conviction, but gives us hope and gives us strength, Lord, to be obedient by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you want us to be doers of the word. You want us to be blessed. I pray that each one of us in here, oh Lord, would always make the time to read your word and study it and memorize it so that when we live our lives, it will be lives of victory, lives that glorify you, lives that when we go out into the world, people will see a difference. They'll see it in us. They'll see it in our husbands. They'll see it in our children, Lord, because it starts with us. And I pray, Lord, that there would be no discouragement, but that there would be baby steps if there's someone in here that hasn't even looked at their Bible much. Lord, I pray that this would just drive them right to your word, Lord, so they can be blessed in all they do as a doer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.